Jenna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Welcome to Happy Hour with lawyer and TV personality Jenna Spilbor and author and inspirational speaker Carol Pesci. Happy Hour comes your way every Sunday morning at this time with life advice, real conversations, and awesome interviews with self-help heavy hitters, best-selling authors, celebrities, and more. Would you like to maybe live better, stress less, and laugh more? Then you've come to the right place.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Happy Hour again here with Jenna Spilbor and Carol Pesci. I am some guy named Frankenberry, and we are back with yet another show. And we've got Jenna on the line, and we actually have Carol on the line now. She was running a little bit late today. Carol, are you okay? Jenna and I were afraid that you might have run off into a ditch or something and weren't going to survive the weekend because all you had was one little, you know, bag of mixed nuts and a half a bottle of water. Are you okay?
I am, and Jenna just gave me a freaking heart attack because she called my phone. She right. called me.
Yeah, and go ahead, Jenna. Tell her
my
why.
My heart sank.
Yes, and I have a
Jenna doesn't call anybody.
And it's not my fault. So for our listeners, all three of you, let me back up. Let me back up and tell you how I got here, because how we got here. Because, you know, we do a lot of show preparation, and something can happen like this. And that requires that we throw that to the curb, kick that to the curb, and we talk about the issue at hand. Here is what just went down, okay? And my heart is still in my throat, too, for the record. So, what you guys know that ever since, like, COVID, we used to go in person and record this live in studio. And now we do it remotely, like everybody in the world does. And we have a designated time that we record this show. And it... 9 times out of 10, your favorite co-host, Curly Pesky, is early, if not right on time. If anybody's going to be a tad bit late, it's usually me. So today we are recording at a not usual time, and Frank and Barry and I are on our Zoom, and we're just chatting away, cat talk, blah, 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 blah. When all of a sudden it occurs to us that we are 10 minutes in, and we ain't got no co-host, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Right? So, right, Frankenberry? So now I'm like, this is not like Carol. Let me text her. So you and I are chatting. I text Carol and I go, hey, where you at? Now, I'm expecting to get an immediate text like, I'm home with my dog waiting for the UPS guy to make her bark. Where are you at? Like, I'm expecting something like that. What do I get instead? Crickets. So now comes the problem. So now I'm like, Frankenberry, I got crickets. And Frankenberry says to me, he says, well, now would be a good time. And I know this is going to make you bristle. Now would be a good time to pick up an actual phone, you dumb butt, and call her. So I says to him, I says, okay. So
okay.
So now, let me just tell you what's going through my noggin while I'm calling you. Now, in my gut, I'm like, this is serious. She's never done this. I am seriously worried that she's been in an explosion, that she's dead in a ditch, that she's trapped under something heavy and can't get to the phone, that her roof caved in, her car exploded. I'm going through all of these scenarios in my head.
Not that she's standing in her kitchen eating a soft-boiled egg.
Right. Exactly. Listening to her dishwasher.
Not as much drama.
So I call you, and I'm hoping and praying that you're going to pick up the phone to relieve my stress. And not expecting you to pick up the phone with not a hello, but a, oh my God, what's wrong? Because now it's come full circle. We never call each other. We know that when we do, someone has died. Fortunately, that was not the case today. Oh. I blame Frankenberry.
There you go. My heart sank and I couldn't swipe to answer now, fast enough. I'm like, what is wrong?
No, you know what? You know what I'm going to say is, what is wrong with you too?
Okay. There are still people in this world who actually physically call each other on the telephone.
They're called weirdos.
I talk to my sister on the phone. I talk to my friend Jeremiah on the phone. I talk to my boss on the phone.
Weirdo.
Totally weird.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Totally weird. Now,
nobody
I'm
does
sure.
That, Frankenberry.
What?
Nobody does that. Nobody does that anymore.
No. People do that. They do make phone calls. Okay. I build commercials with a phone number in it all the time that say, call us.
We don't mean it. No. We want you to text, email, call somebody else who's going to tell us that you called.
Oh, my God. You guys, the two of you have to text each other and say, are you sitting down? Because I'm going to make a phone call.
I should have texted you that I was going to call you so you didn't panic. But I was panicked and Frankenberry made me call.
Well, your voice was so cheerful as soon as I answered. I'm like, whew.
There you go. That alleviated all my concerns. Nobody's dead. Okay, why are you calling me?
Yeah. Yeah.
But Carol, you should have heard, because this part will not air. You should have heard the testiness in Frankenberry's voice when he was commanding me to pick up the phone and call you. He was worse than a scolding parent. Let me repeat it. Let me do it exactly as I remember it.
Oh, okay. Here we go.
He went, all right. Well, now would be a good time to actually pick up the phone and make a call. How's that?
Well,
how do you sound at anything like that?
Yeah. Only 10 minutes later, boy, you have certainly changed that. Good for you. That's it. You see, Johnny, you've got skills.
Well, why don't you do it? Do it, Frankenberry.
Do it?
She's the embellisher.
Okay. So in I will do, from what I recall just a few minutes ago. Mm-hmm. Hey, Johnny, you know what? I know this is going to make you crazy. You're going to think this is crazy talk. But how about you get on the phone and you actually call Carol?
Difference.
That's not, no, not at all how it went. That is not, you're like, oh, I'm the embellisher. You're the unembellisher, because you're the one sitting here all of a sudden. It's like, oh, Jonna, my favorite person next to Carol, why don't you just pick up the phone?
No, that's not even close to what I just said. The only thing I may not have put into what I just said was the little extra sarcasm. Lady?
Unembellisher.
I'm so glad I was late today, because you two would have nothing to talk about.
Oh, no, we do. We do. I got 10 minutes of cat talk. Are you guys ready?
Oh, yeah.
Now, I want you to know, Carol, before she starts the cat talk, that Jonna says that there is one question that I asked her before you got on the phone, that Jonna will take the answer of to her grave.
Dirty rat. You're a dirty, dirty
She's
rat.
She's talking right over you.
I am there, embellisher.
You're a dirty rat.
Okay. I asked her the question about, so, non-cat lady, who is now crazy cat lady, what's it like to be living with the cats and have this company when you come home, and seeing the slow process of them moving scared from the bedroom to now being part of the house to now taking fantastic pictures. How does it feel? Thus the response, the answer to that, I will take to my grave.
The same grave you were in 10 minutes ago.
I'm going to guess it has something to do with the Ice Queen melting a little.
Could be.
Yeah. I am not. I am a very reluctant cat person, I suppose, because the cat information that I would like to provide you to at this point in time is that Punky, the mother of the three gorgeous cats that used to live under my deck, now live under my bed, has finally revealed her latest batch.
Oh, really?
Oh boy, yeah. So I'll set the scene for you. Over the Thanksgiving weekend, which was a 4-day weekend for us, because I gave my office Friday off. Everybody does that, so it's not like a big deal. But it was a glorious 4-day weekend, except that I had to spend most of it preparing for trial that I had upcoming. And so on Sunday after Thanksgiving, I'm knee deep in photographs and text messages and information, and I'm going through all this when all of a sudden, just in the middle of the afternoon, I'm by myself and I hear a distinct meow. Now, as a reluctant cat person, I don't normally hear these meows. So when I hear a meow, I will drop everything and go investigate. So I go outside and I'm trying to look in the direction of the meow, and I see the other stray cat that lives around my house, the father of the white kittens living under my bed, who I affectionately refer to as Pinky. Pinky and Punky are a couple. Pinky and Punky keep having litters of kittens. That's all going to change in 2024, but that's a sidebar. So Pinky is sitting out on my front lawn, and he's meowing away and meowing away. So I walk toward him, and I walk toward him, and all of a sudden I see some rustling in some leaves, and I see at that point three adorable kittens just romping through the leaves.
Oh.
Living in. So this is a great place if you're a feral kitten to live. Behind.
They got the memo. They know this.
Yeah, they probably exactly. Got the memo.
They read the brochure.
There's a very old, broken down, dilapidated barn that is technically in my front yard, because my front yard abuts the backyard of a neighbor because I'm behind them. And I've often said to myself, if I were a feral cat, I'd be there. So I saw these three little kittens romping around. And then since then, I think I have counted one or two more. And of this new batch, so she hasn't brought them to me like she brought these white ones to me at a certain point around the same age that these new kittens are. But they've revealed themselves. And one of them, oh my God, one of them looks a lot like the mother cat, except it has literally these mutton chops going down the sides of its little face. So I have affectionately named that one already Elvis, not knowing whether it's a girl or a boy. But here's the thing. While this is cute, it's not fun, because I know I now have to do the same thing over again that I am now an expert on and catch these little buggers and catch at least one of their parents and go through this process of getting them fixed and tested and adopted out. And my fear is that was the plan with the three cats living under my bed.
And how's that going?
I can't have eight. I cannot have eight, you guys. Somebody needs to help me.
Frankenberry, her first mistake, she's got to stop naming them. Once she names them, they're hers.
And you know, and I've been told that before. When I started feeding Grayson years ago, when I was in the apartment in Hyde Park, a good friend of mine said, when I said I had named him Grayson, she's like, oh, you should never have named him.
People have said that.
Yes. Yes.
So, all honesty, do your parents still not know you have these cats?
Mum's the word, guys. They do not know.
Oh, that's right. Dear audience.
I love how interested they are in your radio show.
Or what's worse, Carol, is that she's very confident in the fact that they will not listen. We can talk about anything on this show. Mom's not listening.
Frankenberry, can I tell her about the idea we had that we wanted to do a couple months back, and then we found out that they truly don't know?
I'm forgetting. Remind
it involved me. Clippings.
What?
Like magazine, newspaper clippings.
Oh, that's right. Like a hostage note or like a...
All right. So we really wanted to do this, but I don't want to create a genuine rift between you and your parents, but we wanted to clip out letters from magazines and newspapers and send an anonymous letter that said to your parents that says your daughter has cats. Well, I'll tell you what, cats, and you have really pretty cats, but cats are certainly better than porcupines.
Oh,
nicely done, Carol.
You're welcome.
Man. Although, okay, wait a minute, though. I like how you slipped it in, like no hesitation whatsoever, just like boom. I love that. But that was a layup. I mean, cat, like animal talk, and then, you know.
Well, there's nothing wrong with a layup on occasion. It still scores points.
I know. I like it to be a little more difficult for her because she is the queen of the Sagu. You got a challenge. Mm-hmm. She's been doing it for 12 years. She needs a challenge. But all right. All right. Well, on that note, so this is interesting because listen, don't we all have people in our life, whether they're like friendly or coworkers or even people that are just acquaintances or relatives or whatever, don't we have people in our lives that either make us bristle or are a little bristly themselves? Yes or yes? Right? Everybody does.
Oh, you mean like friends who call me on the phone?
What the hell were they thinking?
So I am very much looking forward to talking to our guest today because she is literally a world-renowned psychotherapist. I'm sorry, psychologist. Dr. Debbie Jaffe, I hope I'm not butchering her name, Ellis. She is the contributor to a book entitled, and again, I love this title, How to Hug a Porcupine. Like, who doesn't want to open that book and go, what are you talking about?
Yeah, what is this about?
But she's going to come on and talk to us about how do you hug a porcupine? What is a porcupine? Why do people become porcupines? We're going to be talking about all things cupine when we return with Dr. Debbie Jaffe Ellis, contributor to How to Hug a Porcupine.
Did you just say all things cupine?
Yes, I did.
You did.
Oh, my Lord. Okay, so anyway, that is what we've got coming up. We're going to hug porcupines. Hang with us. It's Jonas Billboard. It's Carol Pesci. It is myself and our guest on the way. Stick around.
Jonna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Live better, laugh harder. It's Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
And welcome back, everyone, again to Happy Hour here with Jonna Spilbore and Carol Pesci. And it is time now to get to our guest. And we're going to be hugging pointy animals. Is that correct? Something to that effect?
Well, figuratively speaking.
Ah, okay. Figuratively speaking. Gotcha.
Speaking of pointy animals. All right. So this is exciting for me for a couple of reasons before I tell you who we are speaking with today, because this is my thought process. In my line of work as a lawyer, I come across a lot of difficult people, shall we say, but also
prickly.
Yes. The holidays are coming up, and it's not just coworkers or people that you might happen to bump into, you know, having a road rage incident that can be prickly. Sometimes our own family members can be a little difficult. And I said to myself, this would be a great time to talk about how to hug some of those prickly animals. So who we have with us today on Happy Hour is a world-renowned doctor, world-famous speaker, world-famous writer, Dr. Debbie Jaffe Ellis. And I hope I'm pronouncing your name right, Dr. Debbie. She was born and raised in Melbourne, Australia. You're going to figure that out as soon as she opens her mouth. But she has been transplanted to New York City. She's a licensed psychologist in Australia, a licensed mental health counselor right here in New York. She's also a presenter, writer, and adjunct professor at Columbia University. You may have heard of it, where she teaches rational emotive behavior therapy. And I do want to talk to Dr. Debbie about that as well. And comparative psychotherapies. For years, she worked with her husband, the brilliant and renowned pioneer of modern cognitive therapies, Dr. Albert Ellis, giving public presentations and professional trainings in his approach to the rational emotive behavior therapy. I just like saying that, you guys, because it makes me sound smart.
Nicely done.
Until you ask a stupid question. That's all done.
She is recognized as a world-renowned expert in this rational emotive behavior and presents throughout the USA and countries around the world as she strives to walk her talk that each and every one of us has the power to create our emotional destinies despite and including challenging circumstances. And that is the hook right there, you guys. Dr. Debbie Jaffe Ellis, welcome to Happy Hour.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
You are, so, you know, you're probably going to be one of our smartest ever guests on the show. don't be intimidated by us.
thank you. I'll try to practice what I preach. And while I would love your acclaim, I don't need it to feel okay about myself, right?
Oh, I love that. So I have a quick question for you before we get into the backstory. How did you come up with the title, How to Hug a Porcupine? I love it.
Well, really, the editor gets the credit for that, to be quite honest. But I certainly embraced the title at the time. And yet, when one thinks about it a little more deeply, How to Hug a Porcupine, a porcupine. That represents, as you've indicated, a prickly kind of individual. But if we really want to create a healthy inner emotional climate, it serves us well to think things through. And if initially we think that person is such a da-da-da, so prickly and always criticizing and looking for the negative, and my God, he follows this political la 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 la. And if we label them as that and only that, a prickly porcupine-y da-da-da, then we are doing ourselves and them a great disservice, because isn't it the reality that we act in different ways at different times? Sometimes some people might consider me porcupine-y, although I hope not. Other times they'll see me as a sacred saint, But the fact of the matter is, I may at times act like a porcupine. I may at times act saintly. It doesn't make me a porcupine or a saint, just a human being who has a choice to act in one way or another. And so whether we're being porcupine-y to ourselves, self-criticism, self-put-down, or we're dealing with someone who's acting in that way, it serves us well to pause. Again, if our goal is equanimity, calm, not to take things too seriously and not to suffer emotionally, to think, well, this is one aspect of their behavior. Let's put the focus on them for a minute, not on me. On their behavior, I don't like it, but they're more than just that one behavior. I can stand it. I can take it seriously. I can take the prick of their nasty words and stick it in my gut. Or I can think of them as a king baby and laugh inwardly. So we have a choice. We have a choice about our attitude. If we keep our calm and don't react, you know what? Sometimes the quills will go in quite nicely.
Mm. So, Dr. Ellis, I love that. And I think we are firm believers in that. And Carol is a big believer in this too. Hold on. Just letting that siren go by.
Actually, Doc, that's the real world telling you that John is lying and they're coming for her.
No, because they come every time we record this show.
Okay. Well, if that's the case, just adopt a healthy attitude. You can stand a police wagon. It's temporary. You just don't like it.
You need to be sitting next to my clients as they're getting arrested. That would really, really
help. I'm a bit busy at the moment. Sorry.
So we do agree that people can, or should, I guess, respond instead of react in basically all the time, right, to a number of stimuli. But can we back up for a second? Because I want to make sure that we're clear on the definition of porcupine. Because I want to include in the definition of porcupine not just people who are mean or nasty. I want to include people who are annoying. Can we include them in porcupine, or is that too much?
We don't have enough room for that, for people who annoy you.
Well, you bring up an important point, because according to the way I think and try to live my life, and embedded in the book is this invitation as well. No one has the power to make you annoyed unless you allow them to. So it's not the person who is annoying. It's you telling yourself they shouldn't think that way, or I can't stand it, or that kind of judgmental, irrational thinking that creates your annoyance. Now, the goal of a healthy human isn't to be happy all the time. That would be quite pathological. And if the annoyance is mild and stimulates healthy action to right a wrong or a good conversation, no worries. But if the annoyance turns into rage, we have a problem. So in any case, there are people who may act in ways you dislike, and that can create annoyance. How's that for the long scientific version of
No, actually, that was good, because my takeaway from that is, if people are annoying me, it's not really them, it's me.
Whoa, Frankenberry, soundbite. Pull that soundbite, Frankenberry.
No, seriously, Doc, you have no idea what we just got to come out of Jonna's mouth. Holy cow.
Next thing, she's going to be wearing flannel pajamas. We're going to be like, what is happening in this world?
I just got some free therapy, and it took like 1 minute. Wow.
You know, it doesn't take long if one's sincerely motivated to work on making oneself healthy emotionally and mentally and physically. It just takes the effort to think things through, dispute the thoughts that we are letting bring us down. It's not the other person. It's not the outer event. It wasn't the pandemic that made people anxious, because not everyone was anxious. I wasn't anxious. Was I concerned? Was I really grieving and sad? Yeah, but they're healthy emotions. But anxious, which is paralyzing? No. So it's not an event. It's what one tells oneself. The people who created their anxiety, I can't stand it, when will this be over? Da, da, da. People, and I'm not the only one who felt concerned healthily but not anxious. Well, I'm still alive. Let me learn what precautions I can make. Let me make the most of one day at a time. So anyway, back to you. We have the power to control and create our emotional destinies. And the key is, watch your thinking. Identify the self-defeating thoughts. This is not an approach for people who like to blame others. If you want to stay babies for the rest of your life, keep blaming others. Otherwise, and it's very empowering to take ownership of, well, if I created this unpleasant, unhealthy feeling, I can uncreate it simply by changing my thinking and repeating the healthy thoughts. The one aha epiphany on its own, it's a start. It's not enough to embed that idea and make that the new thinking habit. Repetition.
One of the things I really enjoy, one of the points made in the book is, and I guess maybe because deep down I'm not an ice queen, is that you, the book describes how the reason why people are porcupines is because they've got some, maybe some hurt or something that they haven't worked through. And it's not like they're, I guess for lack of a better word, trying to be mean and nasty, but it's part of something they have not resolved in themselves. And that made me step back and go, wait a minute, that makes sense.
It does make sense.
Yeah. Disturbed people act in disturbed ways. A person who's balanced, calm, has good intent. I mean, I don't believe anyone's perfect. We're all fallible humans. But if our intention is do no harm if possible, do more good, yay, then it's unlikely we will set out, who can I hurt today? And yes, that attitude or realization or acceptance of the fact that if a person isn't deeply wounded, unresolved, carrying a load, they're unlikely to intentionally act in negative ways. And with that awareness, that can beget a lot of compassion. And you know what? Compassion is good for the soul, does a lot more good for my heart, blood pressure, and well-being than resenting or thinking that, I'm not going to swear.
I wish we could.
Yeah. So, okay, so I think we can agree that it's not too difficult to, quote unquote, spot a porcupine in our lives, right? We can spot them. But are there some easy tips, especially for those maybe who have regular porcupines, whether it's at work, at home, what have you, are there some easy ways to diffuse a situation when a porcupine is being porcupine-y?
Yes, step one. Step one. Work on oneself. Remind oneself.
I said easy. I said easy. That sounds hard, Dr. Ellis.
You're getting a little ahead of yourself because I haven't even finished my suggestion.
I'll put my quills down. Okay.
Well, let me ask you, would it be difficult if someone is acting porcupinally to remind yourself, I can stand what I don't like, I just don't like it. To remind yourself, I stubbornly refuse to allow the nutty or prickly behavior of someone else to pierce me.
I'm writing all the
She is writing it down too.
I know.
to remind yourself, I choose to empower myself by accepting what I can't change, which is their unpleasant way of being.
Right.
But I choose to empower myself by accepting that not everyone's going to act the way I want them to. I don't yet run the universe, and I can choose to listen, minimally respond, maximally respond, but within myself, create calm. Because in order to be happy, I don't need every other human to act the way I think they should. And if I hold that belief, I indeed have some pathology.
Wow.
Oh.
Wow. That's so
that is
Dr. Carol. Ellis, this is Carol. So I love everything that you're saying so far. And what's coming to mind is I remember a story from a few years back. I think it was comedian Sarah Silverman. Mm-hmm. Who had what they call online as a troll. Somebody followed her on Twitter or Facebook or something, and they made horrible, nasty comments, which she could have just bristled and fired back. And instead, I believe she privately messaged him and said, "Dude, are you okay? Is everything all right?" And she got to find out that the guy had, I think, like an accident and back surgery, was in pain, was really down and out. So she approached him with curiosity and compassion, ended up then sharing that with her followers, who ended up going and they all gathered together and raised money to help him.
Oh, my God.
That's beautiful. Wow. That's a beautiful thing.
And that's the option we have, right? To become curious and compassionate versus defensive and judgmental.
Well, think about it. Which do you think is better for the soul?
Oh, easy. Yeah. Compassionate and curious. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's not that hard to do if we realize the benefit of doing it, the detriment of not doing it, that right. life is short and we can choose to allow ourselves to be pricked in undesirable ways and suffer. You're welcome. or not. We have a choice. And yep. unfortunately, we're not taught that in schools. If a person is lucky and as a child, they'll have enlightened parents. I don't mean saintly, but, you know, they live these principles and model them. And the child by osmosis can pick up a tendency to kindness and compassion. Or the child might have friends or as the adolescent, you know, get in good company. But a lot of people don't have that. And it's not taught in schools that we choose the way we feel, because it's our thinking that creates our emotions, yeah? And so sometimes it's a book people pick up, like in your case, that will spark an awareness that can change one's thinking, that can totally change one's inner emotional being experience, and that impacts others. And there's such liberation in knowing, in developing confidence that even if that porcupine is massive and intends to give me the biggest acupuncture pain ever, I can stand it. I don't like it, but so what? I don't have to change the person because, frankly, I can't. And in some ways, my attitude, as in the case with Sarah Silverman, or if I keep my calm, you know, some people who have certain maladies act nastily intentionally because they want to bait us. And if we don't bite on the bait and stay calm and even demonstrate, you know, I don't like what you're doing, but I see you're a fallible human. It's okay. Not saying that, but just our vibe. It's like, whatever, you know, you can ramble on and I'll listen and not let you get to me. Sometimes non-verbally, we act as a model. You know, the person will recall, wow, I was giving him such a hard time. And they didn't bite back. And they were sort of quite pleasant when we said goodbye at the end of the meal. And so we make our lives better and may make other lives better that we don't even know we're making better because people are observing our good behavior.
I love it.
And it's great because this really makes it simple. You know, I'm feeling like a another name for this book could have been How to Unpush Your Own Buttons. Like, you don't have to try to change the other person. You just have to, I don't want to say ignore what they're doing. You just have to choose to not let it bother. Like, I'm going to put this on t-shirts. I can stand what I don't like. I just don't like.
You better put my name on it or I'll sue you. Oh, you're a lawyer, right?
She knows a good lawyer, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, whatever. You know I'm joking, right? You know I'm joking. Yeah, great. It's a great mantra. I can stand what I don't like. You know, so many people suffer from not tonsillitis, but I can't standitis. And we're limiting ourselves. If it doesn't kill you, if you're not splattered all over the ceiling, that's proof you stood it. You just didn't like it. So, yeah, we, you know, too many of us are not aware of how we can craft ourselves. You know, we take vaccines, many of us, to have immunity against certain viruses. How about making ourselves healthily immune to nasty stuff from other people or tragic circumstances in the world? That doesn't mean we don't care. It means we keep ourselves stable so that we can make good choices about what our next action will be.
Dr. Ellis,
so brilliant.
It is very brilliant. And it actually is easier than a person may think. And because I dropped out while I was making one of the most brilliant points of my radio career, I'm sure that unfortunately, though, we're going to have to wrap up. But let me say this to everybody out there. You get this book. It actually is a very quick read. And if you're going to be having family gatherings for the holidays, or you've got the coworker, or, you know, the relationship that is constantly getting under your skin, get this book. Very quick read. I have the audio version, which is just awesome because it really does teach you the simplicity of how to be happier and not let the porcupines in your life make you bleed, figuratively speaking. But Dr. Ellis, like, this is really, you are brilliant, and we really appreciate your time. But people can learn more about you and what you do and your teachings by going to your website, which is your name, www.debbiejoffeellis.com. But that's the best way to learn more about you, doctor?
Well, it's one way. DBBIEJOFFELLIS, a lot of doubles, at gmail.com. On my website, and I do recommend that because there are a few tabs. So there are some videos and interviews and all, and I'm going to put this one on because I've got your permission. And since I have your permission, I know your lawyers, you're not going to sue me, right?
No.
Interviews, video ones, and there's another tab with articles I've written. I've written stuff from Psychology Today. But importantly for your listeners, there's one tab, the self-care sheet, and that explains step by step the healthy emotions, the unhealthy emotions, the way we think irrationally that creates the suffering, and the way we think rationally, which creates healthy emotions, and then an A, B, C, D, E, step-by-step formula. It's not difficult. Prove me wrong, Jonna and Carol. that invites us, okay, what happened? How do you feel? And if it's an unhealthy emotion, then the next step is, what were you telling yourself? And there's probably some there. He shouldn't have, I can't stand. Then we dispute the life out of it. As a result, we create new healthy beliefs and we repeat them till they're part of our go-to default automatic thinking with repetition over time. So anyway, yes, and on my website, if I'm doing presentations, you'll see it. And if anyone wants to organize that I do a presentation, I'll come. And it's just my passion to remind people, one of the greatest tragedies in life is that we don't owe the power we have to create healthy emotions when bad things happen. Ooh. And with awareness, we have choice, And so a lot of what we've spoken about, thank you for your wonderful questions and humor. I've loved being with you. And also some of many of the books my late husband wrote and book that I wrote as well as Porcupine, Rational Emotive Behavior Therapy, I co-wrote with him. So people can inform themselves about how to think in healthy ways, suffer less, embrace life more, and infect others with that healthy well-being.
I love it.
Wow.
Thank you so much.
We all love it. Thank you very much. We've been speaking with Dr. Debbie Joffe Ellis, whose website is the same name, justadda.com. Dr. Debbie, thank you so much. Happy holidays to you. And we really appreciate your time and talent here on Happy Hour.
Thank you so much. My pleasure. Happy holidays to you, your team, and all the listeners.
Yes, Doc, it was very nice meeting you. And thanks again for joining us this morning and informing our listeners. Much appreciated. Now, we will be back. Segment number three is still to come. So please stick around with Jonas Bilbor and Carol Pesci and some dude with a funny name. Just hang in there.
Jonna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Laugh more, stress less. It's Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
And welcome back one more time to Happy Hour here. It's Jonna Spielberg, it is Carol Pesci, and myself. Hello, ladies.
Hello, Frank and Barry.
So the doc was definitely very interesting, and her whole concept of how to hug a porcupine.
I could talk to her longer. I love when we get free therapy on this show.
Right, 12 years of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, she did. She turned you around pretty quickly there, Spielberg. That was like, boom.
But seriously, because I am halfway through the book, and I love when you can quickly get a message through to your own brain. And it's, you know, without doing years and years of painful therapy, because I'm serious. Like, I have a lot of porcupines in my life. A lot of attorneys opposing counsels are porcupines. I think they think they need to be porcupines in order to be good advocates. And I disagree with that. I actually think the opposite. I think if you want to be a good advocate, you start by killing people.
Pause added intentionally.
With kindness. And then if that doesn't work, you might need to step on some toes. But don't start that way. And mm-hmm. So I really sought out this book because I need to be able to deal with that, or else I'll just have porcupine needles sticking out of every, you know, pore in my body every day. So this was really helpful. And I do think even you don't have to be a lawyer to appreciate these concepts. I mean, we all know people, you know, we know people.
We all know porcupines.
That's right. That we do. And I'm so glad when you were talking about opposing counsel there, Spielberg, that you added the with kindness to the, you know, we start by killing them with kindness.
Yeah, could have ended there. Put the period right there.
Yeah, you know what? I might even insert a pregnant pause there of an extra second or two just for fun.
Yeah, I would love to have her back on again. She had beautiful energy, good wisdom. I love when we have people who can take something seemingly complex, which is essentially how to deal with what you perceive as difficult people, and make it simple and understandable. And that's exactly what she did.
Yes, that is exactly what she did. And she did it elegantly and eloquently. And I'll leave you just with one quick story, just going back to the point about, you know, opposing counsels and killing them with kindness. I told you guys earlier in the show, right? I was this weekend when I discovered the new batch of kittens, I was preparing for trial. So I had trial, and I took one of my paralegals who eventually wants to go to law school. So I'm trying to talk her out of that by making her come to court with me and observe how it really goes. So she came to court with me, and we had trial, and we were talking about it afterwards. And I'm not going to name any names here. I don't want to embarrass anybody. But we were talking about my opposing counsel, who is probably one of the biggest porcupines on the planet. And I said to my paralegal, I'm like, did you notice this time I really tried to, I think I used the phrase kill her with kindness. And then I quickly realized that that wasn't going to work. And my paralegal said, yeah, she goes, I saw you twitching from across the table. Yeah. I was twitching. I was really trying hard. And then I had to let that go. I should have read this book before trial, not after. It would have been better, but... Anywho.
Well, it'd be fun to have her back on. She was fantastic.
I know. And we have all these guests that are really like our neighbors, right? They're in Manhattan. They're close by.
Yeah.
We do need to descend upon them. Make them buy us.
Descend upon them.
We really do. But anywho, so I guess that's a wrap for this week.
I guess that would be. And I know that we've, you know, we'll have some new shows still to come before the end of the year. So looking forward to that. And again, to the doc today for joining us. Thank you so much. And for Jonna Spilbore, for Carol Pesci, I am Frankenberry, and we'll be back again next week, same time. So please join us again then. Until then, I would say happy shopping, as opposed to just, well, good luck.
Oh, wait before we go, can we add one more thing, Frankenberry?
Yes. Everybody buy little tiny cat sweaters for Jonna.
That's one. The second thing is, if you're into Christmas music, but you get a little tired of the Mariah Carey, why don't you swing on over to Frankenberry's Attic or his Facebook page and listen to his little remake of a little Christmas song himself that he written, produced, and sang called It's Beginning to Look a Lot Like Patrick?
Patrick.
Yes. Yes, that is correct. A friend of mine has a cat named Patrick, and last year she posted a picture of Patrick sitting on a table next to some Christmas decorations, and she posted it with the line that said, it's beginning to look a lot like Patrick. So I decided, well, I can't just let that line sit there now, can I? So I decided to write the entire song that's beginning to look a lot like Patrick. So yes, it's at the blog, frankenberriesattic.com.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. No.
No. Thank you.
And Carol, thank you. and Doctor, thank you. Porcupines, thank you for joining us as well. We'll be back again next week. Bye.
You've been listening to Happy Hour with Jonna Spilbore and Carol Pesci. More life advice, real conversation, and another awesome interview comes your way next Sunday at 7 a.m. to help you live better, stress less, and laugh more. Until then, catch this week's show and others at the Happy Hour link on K104online.com.